I'm not someone that grew up in this perfectly packaged family situation. So there's nothing unique in that regard. I've had to overcome and do my own work, but I think that we each have work that we have to do to be able to arrive and get to our own authentic selves, but it's available for whoever wants it.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise. Hey, oh my goodness. Am I excited to be with you today? I have the most amazing guest. This is a woman who, if you live in the greater DC area, or really anywhere in the United States, you have likely heard of my friend Deborah Porter, who is the workplace parent consultant, the ultimate mom coach. She helps all of us women. For those of you who've who had kids and you're now on the other side of raising kids, you would have wanted her to tell you how to talk, how to show up in our corporate spaces. So welcoming my friend, Deborah Porter, who also was a speaker at the launch of the All Rise Live Global Summit in 2023 with her fine orange suit. Deborah Porter, my friend. Hey, sis, how you doing?
Hey, this is so good. It's so good to be here. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay, y'all, listen. If you want to understand how I got over, you would say, Deborah Porter, enter, okay? Because this is my friend who I believe is just my rock, ride or die iron sharpener. So, Deborah, thank you so much for being here.
Love you, love you, love you, sis. It's an honor to be here with you and for people to kind of have a peek into some of our conversations,
yes,
right? We
right.
do this a lot with no microphone. Here we go.
Here we go. We could have had 20 podcasts. All right. So I would like to have you share with our listeners a little bit of your background, your family, a little bit of your, you know, education and who you are and how did you basically come to this knowing that we needed to hear from you on these topics of parents and caregivers.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good question. So I grew up in Westchester County, New York, just north of the city, about a 25-minute train ride. Mm. Took that train ride probably more than I should have into the city. Grew up single parent, grew up in the projects. My mother often thought that I was up the street at the playground and my friends and I were down in Harlem having a ball. These were back in the days where your parents sent you outside to play and you just came back when the lights came on. So we knew as long as we made it back on that train, by the time the street lights were on, we would be okay.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Yes.
We had to figure some stuff out.
Yes.
So that's how I grew up. Very safe community. We really had to go find trouble if we wanted to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. But it was a very safe community. It was one of those communities where anybody's parent could correct you if they saw you doing something inappropriate or foolish. Days gone by. I don't know if a lot of that happens right now. But that's how I grew up. I have an older sister who kind of flew the nest at about 17 or 18. So the rest of those years, it was just me and my mom. Mm-hmm. And you know, looking back, there were hard times, there were struggles, there were moments, but at the end of the day, I didn't feel it. Like I can look back now in my adult brain and realize, man, we kind of struggled. But in those moments, because we had family around us, because we had community, and because we had each other, it didn't seem that dire. So that's how I grew up.
That's some good stuff right there. I feel like there's such a whole, you know, conversation that can be had about that time period in our lives. Mm-hmm. That's something. I always come to you. I said, Deb, can you write about that? Because that is something about that type of parenting back in the day. You know, what do you love most about what you do now? And why is it critical for us to be talking about this subject?
So one of the things I love most, so what I'm doing right now is, right, I'm helping employers to create workplace cultures that aren't only conducive for working parents and caregivers, but also help to retain and attract them. Because what we know is that working parents and caregivers are the biggest part of your workforce. I think 73% of all employees have some type of caregiving or parenting responsibility. So this is a big chunk of the folks that you need to show up every day to be able to turn the lights on, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the thing that I love about what I'm doing is it allows parents to be seen and to feel seen and heard. Because many times, especially for mothers, there is the motherhood penalty, right? There's the stereotypes, the biases. And so for a long time, we've almost had to kind of put our parenting hat at the door when we show up at work. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in an age now where working parents are very loud because of, you know, COVID kind of blew a lot of things up. So the thing that I love is that I'm able to allow those voices to be heard, to be seen. And when they still have a problem with that, I will be that voice for them to their employer and with their employer. And I love that.
Yes. You know, we talk often on the Rise with Diana podcast. We need advocates. We need people to come alongside us to help us do the things that we do because we need to speak up about this. What do you say to a person who struggles in this area? Because our research shows in the McKinsey and Lean In research from the October 2023 survey, it shows that women and even men need the flexibility. But why do you think people don't talk about this?
Well, I think for women specifically, part of it is we don't want the negative attention around it. We don't want the condescending, oh, you got to go to the doctor's office again. Mm-hmm. Your kid is sick again. Your mom fell again. Like we don't want to have to deal with those kinds of condescending comments and remarks. And so many times it just becomes easier to try to push through it, press through it, like we always do. Mm-hmm. But I think what we've got to begin to realize is we have to make real life more normal. It should not be abnormal that I want to be at my kid's performance at school. It should not be abnormal that my husband wants to leave work by 5 o'clock because he coaches the football team. My kid, like none of that should be weird.
Yes.
It's normal. It's life. Mm. And so the more conversations like this we have and the more advocates that come to it, that can speak to it, hopefully the more normal it becomes.
Okay. Cause can we all, if you are driving right now, you better honk your horn. Okay. And if you're taking a bath, splash it. If you're cooking some eggs, flip them. I'm telling you, this is exactly what I'm talking about because this is why I love you, Deb, because this is the reality. Can we just hashtag that, make real life normal? Like, hashtag
Please.
All that, you know, and hashtag Deb Reporter, hashtag real life normal. That's a T-shirt. Because here's the thing. I felt often if I shared what really I wanted to do, people would look at me like, Diana's always trying to get to her daughter's tennis match. What makes her so special, right? And then I might even get demoted, you know?
Exactly.
I feel.
And then
like
you want to say, don't you want to get to your kid's thing too?
Exactly.
Like, why are y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Don't you want to be present in your kid's life in that way also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Deb, I will say, some people might say, oh, well, you know, Deb Porter, she's made different. You know, she's got something that I don't have. But can you just share, because I want to talk about you as Deborah Porter, because you bring elements to this that other people need to lean into. Share with me a little bit of your superpowers. What would you say are your superpowers so that we can understand how you get that energy to, you know, speak up about this as a parent?
So one of my non-negotiables,
yes,
is authenticity.
Come on.
If I can't show up as me, then I can't show up.
Okay, did y'all hear that? Let me write this down. Authenticity. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Number one.
I've had a couple of opportunities that I've had to pass on because they will say things like, well, can you not say this? We heard on an interview you did that you spoke. No, because when I get going, I can't guarantee you that's not going to come out because I have to be able to be authentic and speak to the topic and the issue authentically. So for me, even as a younger girl, you know, wasn't always appreciated my authenticity, right? Because I grew up in a time where kids were seen and not heard, but I was somebody was going to hear me. And so that didn't always go well for me and my behind at the end of the day. But for me, I would say that is a non-negotiable value of mine, but it has also become my superpower because the people that know me, you know me, the people that know me, I love you. And because I love you, I have to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I'm not capable of just like going by, like, if I really love you, how can I say I love you and I'm not willing to be truthful with you?
Come on. That's not love. That's not love. Mm-mm.
That's not love.
Mm. This right here, everybody take note. Okay. This is a superpower everyone needs to have because, you know, Deborah, we touch upon this, right, in the Rise with Diana community frequently on the podcast, and the All Rise Live Global Summit is the revival of your authentic self because people don't know themselves. They are not comfortable with who they are. And then have you, like, okay, honestly, is imposter syndrome in your vocabulary? Imposter syndrome.
You know,
It's
a real thing, right? It's a real thing. But part of the reason it's a real thing is because we're not really, we're kind of clueless on as about who we are.
Correct.
So once you become more aware of your authentic and true self, then the whole idea of imposter syndrome begins to kind of fade away because you're clear on who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, what's important to you. So I believe imposter syndrome is real, but I also believe that part of the antidote to that is to figure out who you are on an authentic level.
So how do we do this? Of course, I'm throwing all these softballs to you because this is what you and I talk about. But if we could really begin to survey the women in corporate America, doesn't matter your status, your degrees, all the things. What would you say to that woman who says, I just constantly struggle with this? What would be a step or two in the right direction
One thing I like to encourage women to do is to take inventory of the things that you do and you do well. It's amazing if you ask somebody directly, what do you do well? How many people can't answer that?
Yeah.
And so for me, that's one of the first steps. You have to be able to identify what you do and what you do well. And if you have a hard time doing that, you need to ask the people that are close to you, that you trust. You need to go back through your text messages, your emails, check those emails where people said, thank you so much. We couldn't have got this project to the finish line without you. Check your response.
Yeah.
Oh, anybody could have done that. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. No, sis, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Start learning how to just say thank you. I'm glad my contribution to the team was recognized and actually helped. Like, stand in it. Mm-hmm. It's not cocky. It's not arrogant. It's not boastful. We have this way of deflecting compliments.
Yes.
And then saying we struggle with imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. How about you stand in the compliment? How about you stand in your strength? How about you stand in the moment that you've actually done something that really brought value to someone else and stop shushing it away? You don't do that to your kids.
I know that's right.
When your kids do something, everybody's like jumping up and down. Like, why can't you do that for yourself? What's going on?
Yes, what's going on? Okay, you know what? This is such an entire podcast message because we want people to value us for the things we need to do, but because we suffer from this imposter syndrome and we don't know ourselves, we can't speak up to the issue. Right?
Yeah. We want people to value us when sometimes we don't even value us.
We don't even value us. In your line
of work. And that's rough.
Yes. In your line of work, how do you, because you're speaking when you go to these organizations, how are you helping these, what would you say to that woman who's struggling? How do you help her in that corporate space? How do you lean into that there?
So most of the work that I do, right, is around helping working parents be able to sort out this whole idea of work-life balance,
yes.
Right? It being more of a hydraulic,
yes,
than an either or. It's not, it's what needs me today. So part of this conversation has to involve knowing what your priority is. Mm. And I think that what we do as women, oftentimes we have a list of priorities. So like we may start the day and, well, this is my list of priorities. I have 10 priorities. Listen, girl, if everything is a priority, that means nothing is the priority. So the word priority means the thing. Mm. Some time management guru back in the early 1900s just decided to pluralize it. So now we say priorities, which cancels out what the root meaning of the word is. Priority is the thing. Mm. So every day, what is the thing that if nothing else gets done, you may have like a priority personally and professionally, but that's it. You shouldn't have a list of 10 priorities in a day. If nothing else on my plate gets done, if nothing else on this computer, if nothing else in my house gets done, if nothing else in my life, in my world gets done today, this is the thing.
Yes.
Because I think that what we do is we overload ourselves. Mm-hmm. Then when we don't accomplish it, then we're kicking ourselves. Then we're down about ourselves. Look, there is no award or prize for cleanest house. Right. There is no award or prize for best behaved children. There is. So let's just set all that aside. Mm-hmm. Pick your thing. Mm. Pick your thing. This is my thing today. If I don't do anything else, I know today I need to check my money. I need to get into my bank account. I need to make sure I'm balancing my account. That's a form of self-care.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
You know, I feel like this is okay. We started with authenticity, that being your superpower. This is some, again, I like to categorize these things for people to think about. You need to think about your authenticity. Number two, prioritize. Really make certain that you say, this is a thing. Now, this is something I will say I've heard you speak about, and I actually did a whole podcast on it. You mentioned this thing called two letters, N-O, and you talk about this a lot. Can you lean in? Give us your understanding.
Can you see that sign right
no.
there?
Is a complete, so y'all, she has got it.
Boom.
If you're not watching this on video, she has got it on her wall. Can you speak to the people about it?
If I was a tattoo woman, I'd have it across my chest. Okay. But I'm not. But if I was,
tell us, Lena, come on to, you know, say less on that, but say more. Okay.
Here's the thing that we don't think about often enough. The word yes is very, very expensive.
Mm.
And we hand out the word yes like it's a Tic Tac. And we just giving everybody our yes. You want a yes? You want a yes? You need one? You need a yes? Here, you can have a yes. We just hand it out like it's just Tic Tacs right. with no meaning. Then the thing comes that God has for you, mm. or the thing comes that you've been believing for, or the thing comes that you just didn't even think would happen, but you fresh out of yeses. Because you gave them all away.
Yes.
So yes is expensive, with which means that no becomes very valuable and very important. Mm. So before you are super quick to say yes to something, it's okay to say to people, you know what, let me get back to you. Mm. Or, and see, I even hesitate with that because that's kind of just delaying the inevitable. Mm-hmm. But another way to do this is to just be able to say, even if the saying no, some people are just like, I can't say no. I think saying no is mean and rude. Saying no is nothing mean about saying the word no. It's a boundary. It's just being really clear on what you can and can't do and what your capacity is. But something you can say in place of no is, I'm not available for that right now. The end, without the whole long explanation. My dog ran away.
Yes.
My child is sick. The fish died. Like, don't nobody care about all that no way. Don't nobody care about all that no way.
Yes.
So a simple, I'm unable to help right now.
You know, I find that it's easier for, and this, this is actually backed in research. Why is it more difficult for women to say that than men? Why?
I don't know. See, in my relationship, in my house, it's reverse.
Yes. Well, you got some superpowers that you've been working on for some time.
Which is, so I'll look at Cliff, we'll be somewhere and somebody will ask us to do something. And he's like, sure. And I'm like, sure. That sounds like a yes to me. And I say yes.
Yes.
So I just think part of it, you have to be burned. Sometimes you have to be burned a couple of times.
Yes.
Before you then realize, okay, this isn't working. Sometimes you have to hit burnout before you realize, I can't live like this anymore. Sometimes you have to hit the point of being completely empty and feeling like there's nothing that's been poured back into you before you realize, this is not how I want to live. Mm-hmm. For some people, they've got to hit that point before they realize it. My goal is to help and work with women so that they don't hit that point before realizing it. But for some people, that's part of the process too.
You know, you've mentioned a couple things about, you know, making, you know, that I'm not available for this right now. And I really feel this is a narrative that people need to repeat. You know, I feel like affirmations are things I asked people to say often in the Rise with Diana community. We also talk about this thing called passion, you know, this pause, assess, get some space, and then speak. It's a great thing to implement during this process. All of these tools that she is giving, Deb's giving us today, family, in the Rise with Diana, we have to practice. We have to practice, and it's not something that's going to come lightly. And for the parents and caregivers out here, it is up to you to make certain that you are speaking up about this. You know, you speak a lot about employee resource groups. What are, you know, I really think that I never heard of a parent or caregiver employee resource group. Where are those resource groups in your research?
So here's the thing about employee resource groups. They're not new.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The first documented employee resource group was Xerox in the 70s for Black folks that were now coming into management positions. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the 1970s. But what happened is COVID kind of made it all explode, especially for parents and caregivers, because you have your employees that you want on Zoom call and on meetings, but their kids are virtual learning and parents are needed there as well. So there was definitely an explosion during COVID. But employee resource groups are employee led. They're volunteer, and they are around some type of affinity or some type of common interest, or, you know, it may be around working parents, it may be around culture or ethnicity, it may be around interest, but there's been an explosion for sure. And I would say that COVID had a lot to do with that.
Yes, and I'm so grateful for it because I never ever had a parent or caregiver employee resource group. So I know you would say, and we encourage you, if you don't have one, consider starting one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%.
So I want to get into you, Deb. Do you feel we talk often about doing your greatest work. Do you feel you're doing your greatest work on this earth?
I do. I mean, honestly, I will say, you know, even in light of the recent flack that this football kicker got with the speech that he gave at the Catholic University, I you know, I have a lot of issues with that too, but I will honestly say for me, I know that this is my greatest work now. Mm-hmm. And I think you would agree, Diana, that when you're raising kids, the weight of that mm-hmm. is heavy. Yes. There are these humans that are dependent on you for everything, and what you put in them launches them into their future.
Yes.
So there is a weight to the amazing gift and work that you do as a parent. Mm-hmm. I think in this season, because my kids are grown and on their own now, this is absolutely my greatest work right now.
I love it. And I know you're doing it because so many people have been impacted by listening to you, by having them come to your organizations. And what we're excited about is that you are speaking at the All Rise Live Global Summit in Chicago, October 10th through 11th. What is it that you all have to understand the comments from the survey about what you gave the audience. It was off the charts. What do you want to leave with our participants in 2024? What is it that you are hoping that they will walk away with? And what can we be? You won't give them all the juiciness, but just a little tease about what it is you want them to know when they walk away.
So I think some of what we want to talk about is this imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And how to starve it, because I think we do things in our everyday life that feeds it, and yes. we're not even aware of it. So I yes. think I want to unpack that a little bit.
Yes.
And I think the other thing I really want to do is help give women the language mm-hmm. around how do I have this conversation.
Yes.
With the person I report to, how do I begin this type of conversation mm-hmm. so that it's seen from a human perspective? Mm-hmm. Because many times you may be reporting to someone that doesn't have kids, mm-hmm. and so they don't have this caregiving responsibility. And so it's not even that they're being mean necessarily; they just don't get it.
Right.
I had a conversation with a lady the other day about working parent employee resource groups. She was about my age, but she never had kids. Mm-hmm. So she just doesn't get it. She's like, I don't even know. Why are we doing this? Why are we focusing on parents? Why do parents get all the attention?
Yeah.
So, you know, there are ways to be able to step into those conversations from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. From, you know, any of us can end up a caregiver. Mm-hmm. None of us know what's going to happen to our parents, right. grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins. I heard about a lady who had made a decision to not have children. Her decision, her choice, 100%. Her sister or brother or someone passed away. She ended up the parent of three kids.
Wow.
That wasn't her plan. Uh-huh. We don't know what life has
yes.
for us. And so it's important that we begin to treat these types of caregiving situations from a human perspective, mm-hmm. as opposed to categorizing this one and that one and putting people and pitting people against each other.
You know, Deb, someone right now in Rise with Diana podcast land is driving into work and they are really struggling to trust themselves. They're shaking. They're scared that they might lose their job. They are scared because they don't want to be seen as someone who's not valuable. What words of advice would you want to give her right now and speak to her as she's traveling into work right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is take some deep breaths, mm-hmm. because sometimes we can get in these loops mm-hmm. and they almost take our breath away.
Yes.
I mean, literally in the moment, they almost take our breath away. So I would say just pause for a minute and take some deep breaths. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is stop playing out the story in a negative way. Right? Because a lot of times we'll play it out. Well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. Then, well, what if none of that happens? What if you do it and you get what you're asking for? Begin to reframe it. And instead of taking the road of resistance of all the things that could go wrong, how about you rehearse all the things that could actually go right? How about if you rehearse the way that this could actually completely dovetail into what you need? Because I think that as a man thinketh, so is he.
Come on.
And so we've got to manage our thought. We've got to manage what's happening here, because what's happening here is going to It's going to impact how we speak. It's going to impact how we show up. It's going to impact our posture. Am I standing tall when I walk in a room? Am I hunched over? Am I sad? Am I my head's down? Like, think of what are you thinking? Begin to control that, because that's within your control. A lot of this other stuff is not in your control. You've got to begin to control the things you can control and control them in a way that will serve you better.
Can y'all, did y'all write that down? Okay, y'all need to rewind that and listen to it. I'm going to clip that, just that piece right there, and just make it into a little reel. Deb, that was so good. And ladies, the thing is that y'all hear her, you hear her, and now you know why she's my friend. You know why she basically is a doctorate degree RISE advocate. She don't even need to go through the class because she already live in the class. And she has given me so many of these types of nuggets. And she my friend, y'all. I'm so grateful to you, Deborah Porter, for the work that you do in helping us as women, as parents, as caregivers, to do our greatest work at work right now. And I thank you so much. And I cannot wait to hear you speak at the All Rise Live Global Summit. Can you share with us, how do we get to know more about you and learn about you?
So I'm so excited to be in Chicago with you. This is going to be off the chain. Do people still say off the chain?
Yeah, I don't know, but our kids will let us know.
Won't they? Oh
my they God. Will let us know.
But no, I'd love to have folks follow me over on Instagram, Deb Porter, Deborah Porter, Mom Coach. Also on LinkedIn, I would love to have folks check out, on LinkedIn. I put a lot of things up on LinkedIn about what I'm doing, where I've been, where I've spoken. And then, if you need some resources, check out my website, debraporter.net. There's some free parenting resources over there. And you can always reach out to me if we, need to have a conversation beyond here. Because here's the thing, this is not... I'm not special in this, right? I'm a little girl who grew up without a dad. I met my dad for the first time in my life at the age of 21.
Yes.
So I'm not someone that grew up in this perfectly packaged family situation. So there's nothing unique or special in that regard. I've had to overcome and do my own work myself. But I think that, we each have work that we have to do to be able to arrive and get to our own authentic selves. But it's available for whoever wants it.
Yes. Whoever wants it and is willing to practice it. And thank you for your practice. Thank you for your work. Thank you for the way you show up in the world. And we can't wait to hear from you more. All right. Rise with Diana podcast land. Please like and comment. Share what you think. Get connected with Deborah Porter, and we will see you next time. Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.